What we found is that cost of living pressures, particularly in the last 20 years, have really been quite benign, and that household incomes have actually increased by around 20% more than those cost of living pressures just over the last 6 years. So households are around $224 per week better off than what they were just 6 years ago. So it's certainly true that some prices have increased sharply, such as utilities, so electricity, gas and water. But we've also found that many prices have actually gone down. So that's high technology goods and imported goods thanks to a high dollar and low tariffs. So things like TVs, also audiovisual equipment and clothes have actually come down in price just over the last 25 years.
You speak of utilities, but your figures show that people aren't spending any more as a percentage of their income on utilities now than they were back in 1984.
Yeah, it's been very stable. We've seen no change in that whatsoever. And the main reason for that is that, yes, the price has gone up, but people are actually demanding less of those services. So we are actually already using less electricity and we're using less water, I suspect, because of the droughts we've had in recent years.
But we are spending more on health and education.
So certainly on the services side, so education, childcare, restaurant meals, we're spending more on that side. So some of these are discretionary items and some of them are services. So in a sense where there is a sense of outsourcing some of our expenses.
Is there a sense in which people are self-inflicting cost of living pressures, such as private education?
Look, I think to some extent it is self-inflicted, so we are leading larger lifestyles. Perhaps some people are trying to keep up with the Joneses. But for many people, there is the sort of modern society pressures of life, and that means you've got mum and dad who are both working, the need to have the kids in childcare. Also, many people are devoting more money to private school education, and for some that may be deemed to be out of necessity. So there are these modern pressures in society which are probably leading to these so-called cost of living pressures. It's not the actual prices themselves.
So we're looking at more a redefinition of what is a modern necessity rather than increases in prices for what have traditionally been called necessities.
That's right. We actually split it into three groups. We had discretionary items, necessities, and something called relative necessities, which is a bit of a fudgy sort of a term, I guess. The discretionary items are those sort of more luxury items, whereas necessities are those things that we all must have in life, so food, shelter, housing, and those sorts of items. But beyond that, you've also got these relative necessities. So with the relative necessities, you're looking at items that we don't really need in life, but they're very important for economic well-being and for aspirations, such as computers and mobile phones and those sorts of items.
I mean, looking at some of the increasing areas of expenditure, transport and recreation have also featured in those, as well as holidays, despite the cost of airfares, for instance, plunging over recent years.
You've got that luxury or discretionary spend on those overseas holidays. So prices have come down, but demand for those services have increased dramatically. So we are leading these larger lifestyles. We're travelling overseas like never before. So for many people, you know, times have been pretty good, where certainly compared to 1984, our standard of living is dramatically higher than what it used to be. So from that perspective, it shouldn't really be that surprising that cost of living pressures aren't so much about prices, but about us having larger lifestyles.
I noticed that housing's remained relatively unchanged as a proportion of expenditure, yet house prices and rents have soared in most capital cities over the last 27 years. Why is that?
Yeah, so that's probably one of the more strange findings. And I think really what's going on there is that, yes, if you're a first home buyer or you're a young person renting, certainly those rental costs have gone up and house prices have gone up. It's very hard to get in for a first home buyer. But we forget about the fact that most people actually own their house outright or bought their house pre-boom. And these households, which is probably more than 50% of households, have actually done very, very well out of that boom. And that could be fueling some of their consumption.
And also fueling consumption's been debt. I mean, Australians are a lot more indebted than they were back in 1984. Why are Australians taking out so much debt if the cost of living's actually relatively benign?
Look, there's probably a number of factors in that. We didn't look at that directly in the report, but one of the reasons for that would be we've got much lower interest rates. And we've also had 20 years of continuous economic growth. So there's a lot of confidence, and perhaps that's been shot down a little bit in the last year or two with the GFC, but certainly in the longer term, we've had a very positive outlook on the economy, very strong jobs growth and very strong income growth. So we do feel that we can borrow more than perhaps we have in the past.
Now, a lot of people, when talking about the inflation figures, have said while inflation may be under control overall, the essentials in life are the things going up most in price. Is that something you've noticed in your report?
It's actually not really the case, no. We split our numbers up into about 80 different categories, and we did a top 10 and a bottom 10 list, and the top 10 didn't actually include electricity or gas or water. It was things like tobacco, which has been thanks to large tax increases, and in the services area, so dental, hospital, insurance, and secondary education and transport fares. But it's certainly true that electricity has gone up, and so has water. But many things have actually gone down as well, which I mentioned before, which is those clothing and the high technology goods and appliances.
And a large part of household expenditure is food. What have we seen with food prices over the past 27 years?
An area like fruit, we have actually seen fairly strong growth. That's grown by about 5% per annum, which is a little bit higher than what household incomes have. Some other food items, though, haven't actually gone up in price all that much. So overall, yes, food prices have gone up, but the amount we devote to food in our basket of goods between now and 1984 actually hasn't changed much either. So it doesn't seem to be too much of a source of those cost of living pressures around the food.
And you also did some figures comparing cities.
We did find, not surprisingly, that mostly due to housing, Sydney's the most expensive, Adelaide's the cheapest, but we did find that Canberra has the highest standard of living in the country, and that's mainly thanks to very high incomes in Canberra.